He's a great and mighty God. Would you turn with me to the Epistle to Philippians, the third chapter? A portion of our text is there. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, and he preached on this before, but it just is so inspiring and so much here that just thrills my soul. And if I had to put a title on this message, it would be, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. That would be the title. And if I could draw a contrast between the Apostle Paul and Solomon to illustrate the point. In this third chapter, I want to begin reading with 7th verse, preceding a few verses. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that of if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to stop right here for a moment. What an expression of the man of God. His life, you read in Corinthians, we're not going to read it, just briefly, if I could allude to it, all the things he went through. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. I'm a night and a day, and I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all churches. If the weather's inclement, sometimes we have a hard time. Am I going to go to church? And when I read Paul, it makes me feel so small of what he went through. And here he's telling the church at Philippi, he says, that I may know him, that I may know him, that I might, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. There is a dissatisfaction in Paul right here. You sense it in what he says. It's not a dissatisfaction of Christ, of serving God. Beside all he went through, all the things he suffered, you think by now he would say, well, you know, I'm ready to hang it up. I think I'm going to retire. I think I'm going to take it easy. I've set up all these churches, and here I am now. But no, there was a dissatisfaction that I may know him, that I might get closer to him, that I might attain that which he called me for, that I might reach. I'm not there yet, but I need to get closer. I'm not where I need to be, but oh, I'm pressing for the mark. I'm striving. I'm doing what I can to serve him. I want to get closer. There was a dissatisfaction where he was in Christ Jesus. Yet he wrote a third or a half of the New Testament. God used him mightily to spread the good news of the gospel, to explain what we have. Paul's writings help us to understand the gospel message. And he says, that I might know him. That I might know him. Oh Lord, I want that kind of dissatisfaction. I want that kind of yearning. Lord, I want to draw closer. Lord, I want to be more righteous. I want to be in the center of your will. I love what the psalmist says in 27. He says, one thing have I desired. That's to abide in the tabernacle, to behold your beauty all the days of my life. One thing have I desired. He's not talking about a place I want to sit in church. No, I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be in that presence all the days of my life. I don't want to be estranged. I don't want to get far away from him. I don't want him to be like a God way out there, but I want him close. I want to be close. That was Paul. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes about his dissatisfaction. And if I could just quote a few, you don't have to turn to it, just quote a few scriptures. He says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanities. That word vanities in the Greek is a breath. It doesn't stay around. It's gonna be gone. He writes, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter. It is the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. All the labors of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. All is vanity. The pursuit, Solomon, richest man, could have everything, anything he wanted. He built barns and gardens and whatever, and it didn't satisfy what was in his soul. In 1965, there was a song recorded by this group that I'm sure you know, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. I think Solomon, if he were living today, could have written that song. I can't get no satisfaction. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I can't get no. Some of you baby boomers can sing it with me, amen? I know you're humming it right now. I can hear it. I can't get no satisfaction. What a commentary on life. And you read the lyrics of the song, he did this and that, and nothing brought satisfaction. Outside of Jesus Christ, life is empty. Life is worthless. Oh, we strive for things. We put importance on things that you know, are we think are significant, and in the end, in the grand scheme of things, they don't amount to much. Nothing really. Solomon couldn't get satisfaction in the things of his hands, in the material things, in the things he accomplished. with all his wisdom and all his knowledge and all his fame and all his wealth, he couldn't get satisfaction. And why are we so surprised when we see people that are wealthy that have everything they could possibly want? They don't have to worry about money or any situation. Do what I want, when I want, how I want. And there's no peace. And there's no joy. And there's never enough. Someone wrote, I got to find out who this is. Someone said, the soul of man is so big that nothing can fill it up but Jesus Christ. The soul of man is, there's always hungry for something. A new car, it lasts until the first scratch, until you've had it a few months and then and it's old. A new house, same thing. A new anything, a change, a vacation. You go on a vacation, a beautiful vacation, and within 2 weeks or a week or whatever the time is, you come back home, and within 24 hours of being home, you forgot all about it because every problem hit you. You ever had that experience? We came home from a short trip several years ago, dropped our bags, hadn't even unpacked, just got in the house and the phone rings. It was the nursing home where my father-in-law was, had an accident, had a problem. And we were concerned. God was faithful. God took care of him. But that's how life is. Solomon can't get satisfaction from the things of this life. Paul, his dissatisfaction was he wanted to draw closer to Christ. He wanted to know him. He wanted to experience. He wanted a deeper and deeper and deeper relationship. Lord, that's where I want to be. I believe that's where you want to be too. Amen? Isaiah writes, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." I'm going to stop and just pause right there. Symbolic language, what is he saying? He that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. You may not feel worthy of the Lord, and we are not worthy of the Lord. We're not worthy of heaven, but he invites us, come and buy. It's free. Come to the table. Come and enjoy. Come and participate. Come and partake. Without money, without price. The invitation is for you and for me. Lord, I want what you have. Oh, Lord, I know I'm not worthy. But the word encourages us, come anyway. Our worthiness is through the blood of Jesus, through his shed blood, the sacrifice on the cross. That's our worthiness. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He made a way for us. Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? We have to ask ourselves, am I satisfied with my walk with Christ? Am I satisfied with where I am in Christ Jesus right now? I ask you and ask myself a rhetorical question. Am I satisfied? Do we look for, verification from the things that we do? Job and investments and accomplishments and fame. Do we look for vindication from those things? Do we put them on such a pedestal that it robs us of time from God? God says, oh, come. Isaiah, Old Testament, come ye to the waters. What did Jesus say at the last great day of the feast? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, praise the Lord. There's nothing like the living water, my brother and sister. If you haven't experienced it, you don't know what you're missing. Nothing like the living water. Praise God, Lord. Let that water flow. Let it bubble up to everlasting praise unto you. Praise God. Jesus told the woman at the well, he came to drink, and he wasn't supposed to talk to her. And she says, this water, you're going to thirst again. But the water I give, you'll never thirst. Don't you love that this morning? Oh, praise God. And you know, we that are baptized with the Holy, let me speak to the baptized for a moment. You know, sometimes I think we get caught up, life gets in the way, and we get busy, and we forget, we lose sight. We lose focus. Why are we here? What's the answer? What are we doing? Well, I'm here to earn a good living and take care of my family and let them all participate in this and that and the other, and we're going to have a good, that's all good. That's not the main purpose. We're here to glorify Christ. We're here to live as a witness and a testimony. The Great Commission is for you and I. It wasn't for just the apostles. It was for you and I. Remember the man that had, was it the legions of demons? They couldn't bind him with chains in Gadara. They couldn't bind him with chains. And Jesus, when the ship landed on land, he came running after them. Jesus, Jesus, what do we have to do with thee? And Jesus rebuked that devil, those devils, out of him. And when he was all, the man was changed, obviously changed, because he'd been delivered from the demonic powers. And when Jesus was going to go back out on the sea, they were going to go back to where they came from, he says, let me go with you. And he says, no, you stay and tell everything what God has done for you. What has God done for you? Praise the Lord. What has he done for you? Well, he changed my heart, changed my mind. Maybe I had habits, or maybe I had smoking, or maybe this or that, or maybe I had impure thoughts, or whatever it was, but God changed my mind. I saw things differently when the Holy Spirit came, when the Lord began to work in my soul. I was changed. I had a hard exterior. I used four-letter words, and I was this kind of a person, but something got a hold of me, praise God. It was supernatural. God changed me. He gave me a hope. He gave me heaven. Oh, Lord, help us. How are you? Are you satisfied with your walk with Christ? Are you satisfied? Are you doing all you can do? And you know, I'll speak for myself. We compare ourselves to others. Well, I'm doing pretty good because I'm looking at others, and we don't know their hearts, but we judge anyway. And we think, well, I'm doing better than her, but doing better than him. And that's our humanity. And who is our example? And we know who is our example? Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us to draw near to you. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in itself in fatness. Maybe you're running from God. Maybe you feel unworthy. Maybe there's something within you that's afraid to let go and just surrender. Well, I got to give up this and I got to give up that, and I don't know how my family is going to react to this, and I don't know what's going to happen, and all my friends. I don't know. And the enemy puts those doubts and those fears within us. Can God deliver me? Can he bring me through that situation? Is he able? Is he somehow able? I'm so unworthy. Why would God spend that? Why would he look on me? I have no abilities. I have no talents. I can barely survive spiritually. Oh, praise God. He's a waymaker and a promise keeper. Praise the Lord. You know, some people try to fix themselves up before they come to God. Well, I got to live right. I got to do the right things. I got to put this, I got to stop doing this, and I got to get right with God. And you know what? You find out, you fail. Because you and I can't do it. That's why, come to him as you are. As you are. Well, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I can't. Lord, you see the failures. You see the faults. You see how many times I fail you. Lord, let him have it. The Lord will fix it. The Lord will help you. Let him do it. You can't. I can't. We turn it over to him. We're frustrated. How many times have you prayed, Lord, I failed again? Even if we're willing to admit that. It's hard to pray that prayer, you know? It's hard to go before the Lord and be honest. Like if we don't say it, God won't see it. Like, you know, I'm not saying it, so God didn't see it. No, he saw it all. It's like we're hiding something you can't hide. God saw you fail. God saw you do what you shouldn't have done. God saw you sin. He saw it. You know what he loves? When we come to him open hearted, say, Lord, here I am. I failed you today. I lost my temper. I did something ugly. And I feel so bad. I'm hard. It's hard for me to even come and admit this to you, Lord. Even though I'm kneeling in prayer and you can't see me, I can't see your face, but I know you're disappointed in me. You ever prayed that prayer? I have. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's what I love. There is forgiveness. If we confess our faults, he is faithful to forgive us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Everyone that thirsteth. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for God? Brother Tom's been preaching on teaching on the Beatitudes, and blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You want the Holy Ghost? You want the Holy? You want the Holy? If you really want the Holy Ghost, God's going to give it to you. No respecter of persons. Well, I'm not qualified. I don't know. Don't say that. In the day that you seek me with a whole heart, you'll surely find. In the day you put all your preconceived ideas, you put all your traditions behind you, you put all your thoughts and your failures and your faults and say, Lord, it's me and you, and I love you and I want to serve you. I want you to baptize me. That's a prayer God answers. He's answered for many of us. Amen. Lord, help us. I'm going to close with Paul because I love this passage. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. If Paul can say that, I surely got to say it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. It's hard for us. You see, this is tough because we don't forget. We may forgive someone, but the hurt that we remember it. Boy, that person really just filleted me in front of everybody, or they gave me a, you know, I just was so distraught. But God, our infinite Heavenly Father, it's washed clean because of the blood of Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. My track record's been pretty bad, Brother Ron. You're not alone. Anybody want to point to their track record and say, I'm proud of this? I don't think so. We're all failures. Sinner saved by grace. The blood of Jesus. Praise God. I want to close. Musicians, would you come forward? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us. Help us to press. I'm pressing. I'm not retired in place. You've heard that expression in the workplace. People are retired in place. Been in a job 30 years and they're kind of like just going through the motions, retired in place. Sometimes as Christians, we get there too. Not Paul, not the apostles. They kept pressing. Lord, help us. We want to see the Holy Spirit move. We want to see souls saved. We want to see our family restored into the fellowship. We want to see God work a mighty work in these days. And God is calling us. God is saying, come to the waters. If any man thirst, come. Come and drink. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised. Amen. Do we have a song?